the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies, welcome to another episode of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. Flagship RIP number 35 brought to you, as always, by ShakePay, the best place for Canadians to buy and sell, never sell, Bitcoin and Ethereum. Not my thing, but if it's yours, they're the best place to do it. Len, I got a couple of DMs today and text messages from people who I've signed up for the ShakePay card over the last year or so, and they just rolled out, I think, another 4,000, including my brother, including a few more people on Twitter and Instagram. So pretty happy to see that. And of course, if you're watching the stream and haven't signed up, or listening and haven't signed up, use our promo code, which I think now is custom, right? The promo code is CBP, Charlie, Barbara, Peter, and you get $30 on your first 100 in. And of course, if you use the referral code, you also get to shake your phone every day for some free Bitcoin, a faucet. I think it might be the last legit Bitcoin faucet in the Lord's year 2021. Is there another one around?
Sats for Like is another one that I know of, but that operates solely in the Lightning Network sphere.
Do they sponsor this show?
No, we should talk to them and see if they want to.
Nah, we don't need them. ShakePay.
As for the rollout of the card, yeah, like we'll talk about that more in depth later on, but I'm using the ShakePay Visa Rewards card. It works out really, really well. So yeah, anybody that's waiting on the list, you know, we'll talk about this more in depth later on. Because it's a fantastic thing to get awarded to you. But just want to say one thing, Joy. I want to say a big thank you to Sandpaper Finish, who wrote a very nice review for us on the Apple Podcast front. So thank you very much to Sandpaper Finish. And like I say, anybody that's going to take the time to write a good review for us, I'll be happy to take the time to thank you. So here we are. So if you haven't written a good review for us, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for, Joy?
Are we gonna ever read the reviews? I always ask you this. So we should read the reviews.
I could read this one if you want. I got a copy.
Is it good? Is there swearing in it or?
No. It doesn't matter if it's swearing in it. Like, come on.
I don't know.
But it probably wouldn't pass mustard with Apple. But so it's titled "Number Go Up." These guys have undeniable chemistry. It's obvious they respect one another, which is essential to a great podcast. They consistently deliver a perfect combination of wit, humor, hot takes, current events related to Bitcoin, Canadian and international news. Always many tidbits of original comment. Love you guys. So there you go. So that's from Sandpaper Finish. Thank you very much. So I know you wanted to maybe hear what they wrote. This time I copied it for you, Joey. So voila.
Love it, man. That's a great review. Thanks, Sandpaper Finish. I hope that's not like a reference to your like bar wingman skills, Sandpaper Finish. Hopefully you're smoother than that, but I'll leave that to you for another time.
Smooth as silk, man. He's smooth as silk. And so with that being said, Joey, what is the price of Bitcoin in US dollars? Hopefully it's pretty darn good because we've had
$56,368. Really tough couple of days, but I've been buying like crazy. What about in Canadian?
It's $71,687. We have a ways to go, but it's still pretty darn good. Remember back in the days when we were at 28, 29K US dollars in July this year. So whatever, onwards and upwards, let's get this guy up, do your part, stack sats, and let's talk about Bitcoin news. And first thing I want to talk about is something which is going to relate to Bitcoin and is inflation in Canada. And the report came out just this past Wednesday, last week, and the number that was being bantied around was 4.7%. And this is in line with expectations. We were talking about this in the last episode. We were hypothesizing if the number would be much higher than it anticipated, but you know what? It came right on as what they're trying to predict. So very good. So this is the 12 months prior, we were sitting at 0.7% inflation. So we've gone up 4% basically in the span of 12 months. And if you want to break it down a little bit, look at transportation went up 10% in this last 12 months. Gas prices a whopping 41%. That's massive increase since October 2020. New vehicle prices are up 6.1%, and some of the blame is going to the chip shortages. I don't totally buy it, but you know, they're saying that. I would imagine some of this has to do with the new liquidity in the market, but what the heck do I know? Meat is up 10% and beef is up 14%. We talked to Tahini's about this. So maybe those numbers might be a little generous. Perhaps they're buying their food from Chernobyl farms. Maybe that's why the prices are rather low. And there was a drought in Western Canada just this past year, and it caused a lot of ranchers to liquidate their supply. There's some speculation that beef prices are going to jump up much, much higher than what we have right now. And that's taking out of the equation the added liquidity in the past 20, 21 months. Grocery bills are up about 3.9%. And so they're saying a lot of this is due to a backup in ports that are causing some real issues with the supply chain. So some of that has to be true, but a lot of it has to be with the new liquidity that I mentioned earlier. And they give one example, blueberries from Peru, for example. They typically take about 10 to 12 days to get to Toronto. And now a container can take easily 20 to 25 days to get to the destination. So typically when you have a longer lead time like this, especially with fruit, you're going to have a lot of it go bad. So the amount of supply that's going to be available to buy is going to go down. And so prices are going to go up. So this thing is just spiraling out of control. And if you think that you're going to be fixing this with some rate hikes, well, think again. We had the Bank of Canada Deputy Governor Lawrence Shkembri. He said that they'll be talking about delays in the rate hikes in the next little while. And I suspect this is trying to prep the markets for when they delay the rate hikes, because they were initially talking about having it done in March 2022. But, you know, given by the Deputy Governor's latest comments, I don't know, maybe it's not going to happen in March 2022, but time will tell. And there was actually a survey by the Bank of Canada, very interesting information that came out of the Bank of Canada. They said consumers plan to increase their spending significantly, but remain cautious because of illnesses. You could figure out what the illnesses are. And Canadians think inflation will be higher in the near term due to supply disruptions, but they do not expect this situation to last. Inflation expectations remain well anchored. Who the hell are they surveying to get that information? I don't buy it. And Canadians are not expecting significant wage gains despite recent improvements in the labor market and perceptions of higher inflation. So all in all, you know, we expected it. It's not looking great. Inflation's going up and up. The Bank of Canada is doing their thing. They're shilling us surveys that are showing us that people are looking forward to, you know, the end of inflation. They think that this is not going to last. I, you know what? There's a lot of mistruths from what I can understand here. And, you know, people just read between the lines. I don't totally buy the narrative that they're selling us. 4.7% does also seem rather small to me. That's the official numbers officially. Man, they're much, much higher, Joey.
Do you think, Len, that... you know, in ancient times and in the medieval ages and, you know, even in the last 100 years, there's ever been an instance where someone from the top of the food chain, as far as the ruling class, has come down from the gold throne and spoken to the public about the strength and the predictability and the, you know, and tried to reassure the population at a time when there was no reassurance needed? Or do you think that that only happens when there is reassurance needed and there's trouble on the horizon? What do you think the likelihood of either of those things are?
They're trying to ease the situation, make sure that people, there's no unrest, and you know, they're trying to feed us the right information that we want to hear, but it may not be the actual truth.
It's definitely not the truth. The core inflation numbers are embarrassing. This is an embarrassment. 18-year high, which sort of is like the, you know, you kind of buried the lead there. That's a pretty important number. Don't forget, in the summertime, the bank was very quick to tell you that the reason the rates or the prices were so high was because the demand was at zero basically last summer. Well, what about now? Now, this is around the time we started to open up, or we're kind of hitting the swing of things last year, this sort of October, November time period, when Ontario was under a lot of pressure from certain professional tables, we'll say, to stop the reopening because things were going too fast. Well, so the demand was there last year at this time. And, you know, a 5% jump over the same month last year is significant, because the real big jump would have been from, you know, the summertime or the springtime, the initial sort of period of lockdown, not now. And so this 18-year high is alarming more because of that. The their fudged Lent look under control, like you said, even though some of those numbers, you know, you just can't explain away 40% gas prices and whatever it is in housing. Like, it's some godforsaken number. It doesn't fit on a calculator from unless you get a nice like $80 TI unit from high school, graphing calculator or something there with all the nice functions and secondary
functions. I love those calculators.
Hey, Texas Instruments is a great company. So this is fudge to look under control. Now, here's a hot take for you, okay? We'll do this for Sandpaper Finish, who says we have the right number of hot takes. And I said this on Twitter the other day too. CPI is nothing but a tool to make sure that pensions and other entitlements are not priced in a way that the government runs into immediate issues with unfunded liabilities. That is the only purpose the CPI serves at this point, and probably this has been the case for the better part of 100 years. It seems to me that more people are figuring this out, and as I've said before, I'm not going to rehash the whole, you know, lowest common denominator and who gets affected by inflation, but as pensioners who have all the wealth start to discover that the CPI is, to put it like diplomatically, a joke, and it's a farce, they're going to start to run into problems. There's a couple of tidbits in here that you didn't really talk about. This consumers planning to increase their spending significantly but remain cautious because of illnesses. I'll tell you, if people are still thinking about Rona, they're not going to increase their spending because they've seen what it looks like already. They've seen the job loss. They've seen the destruction, the damage. And now, you know, as we've discussed many times, these CERB checks here are going to have to be what? Triple, double the cost, something like that, double the price. It's going to have to be a significant amount more to meet the needs in terms of food and transportation. That's for people who are, you know, barely making it as it is. CERB was pretty sparsely distributed last year to people who made more than 50,000 or 60,000. I'm pretty sure. I don't remember exactly what the cutoff was, but regardless. Other thing I would mention, and we said this on the show, Len, at a time when the bank is telling you that they're cutting asset purchasing programs here in Canada and not buying bonds anymore, at least not the same clip, the thought, and the bank didn't do anything to suppress this. They encouraged this thinking and this discussion in the public, certainly amongst their talking heads, was that the rates were going to go up. And what did we say? We said, no fucking chance are they going to raise those rates because it's politically untenable. And here we are, not 2 months later, talking about how the rate hikes are going to be delayed. Of course they are. This is a no-brainer. If everyone is telling you the rates are going to go up, they're not going up, period. You're going to know when they're going up because things are going to be real good for you. You're not going to have any disconcerting conversations with your wife or your parents. There's not going to be any issues with your kids as far as what's going on at schools. When those conversations stop happening, then you can talk about rates going up. But for now, there's no chance. And I think even then, Len, it's probably very much politically untenable still. But we'll talk about that, I'm sure, in the next 6 months. Consumers are not going to increase their spending when rates are higher. So like I just mentioned there, this bit about people spending more money in the short term, I don't buy it. If they raise rates, they can't do that. We've talked about how discretionary would fall off a cliff if you had to pay more on your mortgage, your credit cards, your line of credit, all that stuff. It would wipe out discretionary spending, which, by the way, is already super low. I don't know how they make this statement that inflation's well anchored. Well anchored to what? Anyone who's buying gas or owns a home or is looking for a home knows that this is just completely insane and a lie. And I'll tell you, this is not to go off the deep end here into the weeds, but when we talk about how likely it is that a tax on unrealized gains or something of that nature becomes politically feasible for one of the two big parties, this is how it happens. There's enough people out there that don't own a home or are not looking for a home, don't have a car or are not buying gas who think this statement is true. Those are the people who are going to vote for unrealized taxable gains. And that number is obviously big enough that these guys are putting this in black and white. So think about that. So think about that if you think the taxable gains are not coming. It's fucking coming. Other thing I would mention here is, again, you know, Len, I've learned more about the names and backgrounds of Bank of Canada officials in the last 6 months than I learned in the 33 and a half years before that. And I just put it to the listeners and the viewers. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing? Do you think that the people who are on TV want to be talking to Evan Solomon, want to be talking to CTV, want to be talking to Rosie Barton and her friends, want to be taking questions, want to be, you know, asked about inequality and racism and sexism and gender issues and education and the middle class? These people didn't sign up to be Bank of Canada officials to take questions from the press. this is not what they want to be doing. They're doing it because they have to, and they have to because things are out of control.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Joey. We're screwed, man. We are freaking screwed. Just want to move on. I want to talk about some news that kind of flew under the radar this week. I'm not sure why. This isn't a big ticket item for a lot of Canadians, but Fidelity, they were approved to become Canada's first institutional Bitcoin custodian. This is as of November 17th, 2021. And the Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada approved Fidelity to launch a new digital assets service. What this means, it should theoretically allow for Canadian institutions with the ability to onboard into Bitcoin through Fidelity. And this will be custody and trading services that are only going to be applicable and available to institutional investors. They will not be available to retail investors. So if you are looking to get in on what Fidelity just announced recently, unfortunately, as a retail investor, we're not going to have the opportunity. But this could open a door for that services for up to, we have pension plans, portfolio managers, mutual funds, ETFs. So that's a lot of money, a lot of old money, a lot of money that's just sitting stagnant, probably with purchasing bonds, et cetera, et cetera. This could potentially move into Bitcoin. This is actually really interesting. And the Fidelity Clearinghouse, they provide services right now to more than 100 different investment companies in Canada. And together with the Fidelity Investments Canada ULC, they represent more than $222 billion in assets under administration and management. That's as of June 30th of 2021. And their AUM has doubled in the past 2 years. So they do have a lot of experience dealing with big money clients. I suspect this is going to be a very good opportunity for big companies in Canada to onboard into Bitcoin. I took a look at the large market cap Canadian companies. The ones that I may think that could potentially do it, Spotify, do you think so, Joey? That's probably not going to be. BAM, Brookfield, maybe as a way to hedge against a potential bust or bursting of the bubble for the real estate market, maybe. The banks occupy a lot of the top parts of the bigger companies in Canada. I don't think they're going to do it. Canadian National, no. So I'm wondering which companies are going to be using this service, though, because it is a really good opportunity for companies, Canadian companies, to onboard. But I just don't know which ones. Lululemon, I don't think so. Do you have anything in the top of your head that you think that might be taking advantage of this? I just can't figure out which ones. But I like the story. It's a fantastic story, but I just can't figure out which ones are going to be using this service.
I think this is the most bullish thing we've ever said on the show. And we've said a lot of bullish things over the last six, 7 months. This is going to be the first one to do it. My guess, Len, the first people to do this is going to be the Ontario teachers. And I say that because I think they have a more active base of, members than most.
I could just say on their front, they actually did put a little bit of money towards purchasing FTX. So they actually purchased, they put a little bit of money to get a small stake in FTX. So clearly they have intentions of getting in this market. So yeah, just food for thought.
I think it's going to be the Ontario teachers. The ETF and mutual fund market, Len, in Canada is enormous. In 2019, mutual fund assets in Canada, about 1.6 trillion, ETF, about 205 billion. I bet you those numbers have probably gone up by, 20%. That's just on inflation. They probably went up by 20% since 2019. But, the point is that that's a lot of money sitting there that's looking for a better vehicle. And so you got that on the table there. More importantly, the pension system in Canada has unfunded liabilities. So I went to just the Fraser Institute. The total unfunded liabilities in Canada's public health pension or public pensions and healthcare programs in 20, what year was this? I'm not sure. It should be 2020, but I think it might be 2019. $2.2 trillion or $134,841 for every income taxpayer.
Is that an aggregate for all the pensions or specifically for like CPP or something?
Just CPP and the healthcare related to that. So, that's quite a bit of money. And even worse, Len, if I go down to the CPP breakdown, the breakdown in 2020 or 2019 again, sorry. Oh, sorry, 2021. So that's very recent. Public equity is 27%, private equity is 26%, fixed income, 26%. Fixed income, you'll see there's an asterisk there in the show notes, consists of government bonds, credit, cash, and absolute return strategies, and external debt issuance. So, you know, that's bonds, that's gold, it's cash and Forex, it's money market funds, it's stuff that's very, very low risk, or was, excuse me, low risk before inflation started going to 5% a month year over year. So there's really an opportunity here for these funds to say, look, we got a major manager here that's going to custody for us and can help us make this jump. Let's make it with 1%. Let's make it with 2%. Let's make it with something. Because as we talked about before, you know, these pensions, even without the inflation lend, these pensions are structured in a way that is meant for 15 years of life, not 30 years of life after retirement. And that's what they're up against now. And it's a population bomb as well, that they're kind of in the middle, maybe beginning middle of something like that. It's only going to get worse. The thing about the, you know, this sort of no coiner, the whiner, the, you know, it's going to zero person arguing with us about whether or not pensions or whether or not Fidelity is going to be a catalyst for more adoption. I would just say, look, you know, do you think that Fidelity would jump through all these hoops to make themselves available to the largest institutional investors if there wasn't demand? You think they just fucking were bored one day and were like, yeah, you know what? I don't know. Stain my deck, but I think instead I'll just fucking run through a fiery obstacle course with Canadian regulators for 3 years. I doubt it. I think they did it because there's demand. And, you know, we've seen in the past, especially in Bitcoin, where there's smoke, there is fire. And we started to see it last year with the treasuries. And, you know, I will be the first to admit that things have slowed down a bit more than I wanted and a bit more than I thought. But to say that there's not going to be more treasuries, I think it's just wrong. It's outright wrong. And, you know, uninformed. And we've talked before about how bonds and fixed income are just not going to meet the needs of these pension programs. And I just don't think that there's an institution like the Ontario Teachers Pension, who has a very young member base, has a, you know, sort of a forward thinking, what's the best way to put it? Forward thinking investment policy, or tries to have a forward thinking investment policy. I don't think that they're out of the question. And you mentioned they have a small stake in FTX, which kind of gives you an inclination as to which way they're leaning on this sort of asset class. And I look at, like, you know, ultimately a question we've asked on the show a bunch in the coming, you know, in the retirees that are, you know, taking CPP now, for example, and the people who are using institutional vehicles now, is there going to be more demand in 10 years than there is now, or less demand in 10 years than there is now? You know,
most likely more.
Yeah, if there's no regulation, no like destructive regulation, then the answer is yes. And people can say, well, it might be regulated, might be additional taxes. There's fucking taxes on everything. And if there's more tax here, it's, you know, Bitcoin will still, I guarantee in 10 years or 15 years, if there's tax legislation on Bitcoin that's different from equities or different from capital gains will be more onerous to handle in 15 years than it is now. And Bitcoin will still be the best vehicle for growth. Not to mention that you can, of course, spend and not just sell. It's another story for another time. But I like this, man. We have been looking for, you know, this sort of catalyst for adoption and catalyst for investing from the people who have the most money. It's the boomers. And, you know, I don't know what that number is. It's in the trillions in Canada. But again, it's just not feasible to not be in it. If things keep going the way they're going, and, you know, they're not just going to suddenly tell people, yeah, you can't get your teeth cleaned in retirement anymore, or no, you can't, you know, you can't buy red meat anymore, or, you know, or you got to have soy turkey instead of regular turkey, or whatever the Federal Reserve was tweeting.
What
out
a joke
day.
That is.
But they're not going to do it. And again, the reason is because it's not politically tenable, and unions ultimately are responsible to their members. Those people all vote. I know that all too well. Those people vote. And vote in ways that, you know, are reflective of the sort of lifestyle they're leading. And it's really just a matter of time, man. Like, I'll leave you with this for this topic. You can't tell me that this is not a ticking time bomb. The bond market, the fixed income, gold is not moving. It's obviously being manipulated with paper markets. I just don't know what to tell people if they think that this is, like, you can't hold this underwater forever. At some point, the bubble is going to, like, the bubble in other stuff is going to be obvious to people in bonds and tech and whatever, and people are going to reallocate, and it's going to be to this. So I would just say, like, if you don't have 1%, I mean, I want you to, but at this point, I don't have anything. There's nothing new that I can tell you that's going to change your mind. You just have to figure it out yourself.
You call this the most bullish news we've had. Is this more bullish than you think that we reported on Digimax releasing their AI software. That was the company that has Brock Pierce as a director.
I think this is a little, it's like marginally more bullish. Yeah.
All right.
Custody. Yeah, I think so.
Well, you know, this CPP, they actually have one investment that's just a cash cow for them. I think they're the majority stakeholders of the 407, and that just prints money like nobody's business. Yeah. So if we could find something that could outperform the 407 in terms of earning money, this might be it, entering into Bitcoin. There's a lot of old money tied up in bonds and whatnot. And that's going to have to be diverted elsewhere, because it's just not doing anything these days. It's not keeping pace with inflation. It's actually negative against inflation. So it's a terrible place to park your money, and equities can't outperform that much to make up for the losses that they're experiencing with bonds. So people are going to, or people managing these firms all this money, they're going to have to allocate that bond allocation somewhere else. Why not Bitcoin? It makes so much freaking sense. Why not Bitcoin?
Even if it's just 1%, it doesn't have to be the full 25% that's in fixed income for CBP, for example. Like, it can be 1%. And we'll talk about governments and their adoption of Bitcoin in the next story. But I just think, man, 1% is... It's like an absolute rocket if 1% of a pension goes into that for a country or a teachers or the Ontario teachers. The Ontario teachers, I've mentioned this before, like that's not a Canadian centric thing. The Ontario teachers are a world renowned investment house. Like, they are as good as it gets. And so I mentioned that, you know, Billions on HBO had an episode dedicated to this guy courting the Ontario teachers pension. Like, these guys don't fuck around. They're top of the food chain. So if they are thinking about FTX, you can guess where they are on something like Bitcoin. I think the answer is just that they're waiting, and maybe this will shorten that wait.
They just have to make sure that it's the right investment. I know it's the right investment. You know it's the right investment. But if they're going to park their money, especially when they have a lot of people that, as Candace just mentioned, that a lot of people are going to be retiring in the next few years, they got to make sure they're investing wisely. Because if they're at a point where they can't meet the demands of their pension, it's going to cause a lot of people just to go nuts. And actually, GBS has a question for you, Joey. He's wondering, what equities do you own outside BTC miners?
I know. I told him. I'll tell him after the show, because they're not Bitcoin related.
Oh, gotcha. I didn't see that. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. There you go. So that's it for that topic. And I want to move on to the El Salvador news. So people that are unaware, they're living under a rock. Well, there's a big party that took place this past week in El Salvador. And I just want to give some kudos to Bitcoin Gandalf. He does a podcast called This Is Bitcoin. You could check him out by just checking This Is Bitcoin or doing a search for Bitcoin Gandalf. Good podcast. It's more episodes obviously going to be coming on not too distant future. And he was giving us a lot of updates what's happening there. But so there was big news that took place this past week was there's going to be a new city coming out, this new Bitcoin city. It's going to be backed by Bitcoin. Did they name the city? Are you aware if there's any particular name for it, Joey? I'm not sure of it, but
I mean, I know what it is, but I think I was reading through the notes, and I think both of us are going to dump a little water on this. So why don't you just...
No, I don't know what the name is. Like,
it's Bitcoin City. He's calling it Bitcoin City, as far as I know.
So, okay. That's all. Like, yeah. I had no idea that there was, did you hear that Ethereum City is going to be called Wrecked?
I said this morning on Twitter or yesterday, like I'm frantically searching for the Ethereum City, but I haven't seen any tweets. So.
It's just a picture of a desert with tumbleweed blowing by. There's absolutely nothing there. But
it's a tent city in the suburb of California somewhere.
The gas fees are too high. You can't even take anything out. It's horrible. But this, going back to Bitcoin City, the expenses for constructing this city, and it's going to be adjacent to the volcano that's going to be mining Bitcoin. It's going to be funded by Bitcoin-backed bonds, and the city itself will have zero taxes, save for a VAT tax, which is a sales tax, in instance. There's going to be no income tax for people over there, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really going to be an opportunity if you want to hang on to your money, you could do so as long as you don't spend it by purchasing stuff over there. Half the VAT is going to be used to fund the new bonds, and the other half will be paying for the city services like garbage collection, et cetera, et cetera. And the volcano bond, which is will be worth about $1 billion backed by Bitcoin. And they're saying it's going to be 6.5% coupon, and half of the sum will go into buying Bitcoin itself. And so there's going to be bond yields in this from the Liquid Network, Joey. The Liquid Network, this is a side chain of Bitcoin. It almost kind of reminds me a little bit of the Miami coin kind of, you know, in a way. So a lot of this, it's just, it's good news. I mean, Bitfinex is going to be involved with all this, but nonetheless, like I look at this, it leaves me a little bit skeptical, this whole process. I'm wondering if Bukele is, what are his motives? You know, obviously when you look at all everything over there, his face is forefront. You see all the videos and everything. He's putting his face on there, his name on everything. And so he should be. But I'm wondering what's behind this, because I'm just a little bit skeptical about this whole initiative here. And another thing I'm really skeptical about is the ability to execute what he's trying to achieve. It's very, very ambitious. It's something that it could potentially be done. And doing so, doing these Bitcoin-backed bonds, et cetera, it's almost getting to a point where you could have fiat-backed, or sorry, currency that's backed by Bitcoin. It's almost getting to a point you could get to that. But still, it's a step that you still have to go in furthermore in the right direction, and they haven't quite gotten there just yet. So I'm just looking at this, and I'm just kind of wondering what's going on. What's the true intentions here? What are the motives? Is there something that we just don't know that's going to play out in a not too distant future? I don't know, Joey, what are your thoughts on this? Maybe I'm just being a little bit, glass half full on this one. What are your thoughts?
I'm actually with you. I think that there's, you know, probably if not yet, there will be and should be some legitimate concerns about this guy. We've seen these stories about the Chivo wallet and how it doesn't really work that well on Lightning. You know, Mario was there, Gibney, who was on the show last week, and he was kind of giving us a breakdown of a Twitter video from, I think it was the Breeze wallet CEO, right? He's down there and he's trying to use Lightning with Chivo, and there was no interoperability, which tells you that the Chivo Lightning wallet maybe isn't quite as transparent as it should be.
It was Bitcoin Gandalf that gave us the whole rundown at that. Then
Mario too. So I think he did anyway. Now I don't know. Gandalf's a great follow. Highly recommend that. And if you haven't come to one of our Friday happy hour Twitter spaces, like I can't recommend it enough. We get some really smart people on there. A lot of good content.
At the very least, he sounds smart because he's British. So when he speaks, it almost sounds like he knows. But he does know what he's talking about.
He's very smart. Yeah, he's a smart guy. He's been in the space for a long time. I think the other thing I would just ask is like, you know, what does the general population of El Salvador think about this? It seems to me that there's some pretty big gaps between really understanding what Bitcoin's about and being sort of forced to understand that you have to scan a QR code and take Bitcoin for stuff. You know, like it's a big gap in the Western world where there's not quite this lack of education, lack of I don't even know what else you'd say. Just general fluency in things of this nature, you know, technology and things like that. So, you know, I think about that and it kind of gives me pause. And then I consider, you know, also he hasn't really executed on Chivo and the Lightning thing yet. And he's now undertaking what by any measure is like the greatest human infrastructure project on the planet at the moment. Building a giant city on basically $1 billion, you know, around a volcano where I know he says like half of it's going to be spent on mining infrastructure, half of it's going to be spent on Bitcoin. Well, who's building the fucking houses? Who's building the roads? Who's building all these things, right? That's important. And the other thing that I would ask is, you know, Len, there's probably people living in that area that aren't in the rendered photo of the Bitcoin city. Where are they going? You know, like, are you just going to bulldoze those little favelas and sort of shanty towns and homes and, you know, whether it's a good way to live or not, people are living there, presumably anyway. And so I just ask, you know, where are those people going and what's the plan for them? I look at the like the spec of the bond, and the spec of the bond is pretty reasonable. Like I saw Massa and Massa and I were actually talking about this in DMs. Like the bond is fine and it's available to retail at $100, I think, is the minimum. Did you mention that? You may have mentioned that during.
No, I didn't. I wasn't aware that that's the minimum.
It's available to retail through Bifinex at $100, the minimum investment. So you can do that if you want. I don't know. I would just buy the underlying asset, I think, if I was, you know, it's sort of like a token.
But you can get this Miami coin as well.
Yeah.
I'm calling a Miami coin. It just is a tongue-in-cheek thing.
But. And so like you get the bond, and I get that like Liquid is a Blockstream product and Blockstream is, you know, sort of beyond the pale as far as slaying your heroes. Like Adam Back and those guys over there are damn near untouchable, and they have a reputation that precedes them. And so that's okay. but it's, you know, another moving piece that maybe you didn't need, and another issue that maybe you're going to have to solve at some point if you want to move away from the Blockstream Liquid sidechain. And then like all this like 0% tax, 0% this, 0% tax. Like you can't just have a 10% value added tax and pay for a city. Like it doesn't work like that. And you know, if he does prove us wrong, well then like I'm going to have to start stretching and work on my flexibility because my foot's going to be in my mouth. But until then, I think honestly, this guy maybe just, I think he maybe burned some bridges and probably cost himself a little goodwill with the broader space. I think there's still a chunk of the population who, not chunk of the population, a chunk of like the Bitcoin population who is like super hyped on someone like, I don't know, Mike Saylor as like a super, he's like an incredible businessman, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know what MicroStrategy does. The guy bought Bitcoin. He was irrelevant more or less until then, right? And now Bukele, much the same thing. Worth noting, though, on the Bukele front, today from our friends at Reuters, everyone's favorite media outlet, Fiat Media, U.S. official says El Salvador relations are, quote, paused for lack of interest. Pretty jokes. Probably unrelated, right? I'm sure that those two things.
It's coincidental. Things, just happening now.
Couldn't be. Obviously, we're on a bit of a pause because the government of El Salvador is not giving a signal that it has interest in our relationship.
They don't want the money.
The Office of President Bukele, who frequently criticizes the United States and U.S. politicians on social media, did not respond to a request for comment. Oh, fucking color me surprised. You know, the only reason I want us to succeed for a number of reasons, but I'd be lying if I said chief among them. I just want the media to continue to be wrong at every turn. You know, they've been wrong more than usual in the last few weeks, especially, and nothing would give me more joy than to consider than to continue stamping W's in the obvious lie column from these guys. But you know, as far as Bitcoin and the Bitcoin city, I mean, Len, like, you know what it reminded me of more than anything, that presentation, did you watch it? So Gandalf has like a bunch of videos of him,
many.
So it reminds me of the fucking monorail presentation from The Simpsons. Doesn't it?
Yeah, you just need the old men in the back saying, "We."
Yeah, like it's like a cult over there. Like everyone's got their phone out and it's a Bitcoin city. It's a giant Bitcoin bee in the middle, and like, I don't know, man. Maybe not. Maybe pump the brakes a bit. Show me what you got. Let's see your chops on Chivo, and then we'll talk about Bitcoin bonds for your country.
Mm-hmm. And you know, another thing that I just want to point out is, I think, again, I don't want to keep bringing him up, Bitcoin Gandalf. He was talking about how Chivo, the way it operates, or maybe it was Mario, but it initially defaults to on-chain, and you have to change it to Lightning as one of the options. Who the heck would operate on?
It's not there.
I mean, they have it. They have the ability just to roll out something really good, and hopefully, it could benefit people. But it just seems that there's some glitches, or they haven't thought it through in totality. So the one thing I'm not looking forward to, if this turns out to be a monumental failure, and I hope I'm wrong, because if it does, then it's going to leave a huge black eye.
Oh, yeah.
On Bitcoin and the Bitcoin community. And then the next country that's going to be adopting this is going to be very hesitant to do so. And, you know, there's a lot riding on this. So I'm hoping that it's done successfully, at least successfully enough that it doesn't piss off a lot of people. So I'm setting the bar really, really low, Joey, because it could be really bad if things turn out as bad as the way I think it can.
This is why it's not so good to, like, you can't just hitch your wagon to every horse that comes to your stable, right? Like, it's not that we don't like this guy. We've spoken favorably about him before. And I think that generally, you know, moving away from the petrodollar for a country like El Salvador is a strong move. You don't have to do it all at once, you know? Like, you can take like a year or 2 years, onboard people, teach your people about it, the importance of long-term thinking with money, the importance of hard assets and things of that nature, and why Bitcoin works. And you know, you build a base, much the same way you and I built a base, right? You know, when we came into Bitcoin, it was number go up and that was it. It was how much is it worth in fiat terms. Now, you know, it's a different ballgame. We have the podcast. We talk about, you know, different stories related to the ethos of Bitcoin and why it's important. Certainly, you can't go from, you know, like Mario mentioned last week on the show, or maybe before the show started, like, you can't go from rolling blackouts to Bitcoin cities in 2 years. You can't.
It's a massive jump.
And so I would caution people about this. And, you know, Naib doesn't listen to this show. Maybe he does, but I doubt it. But if he, you know, if I could say anything to him, I would just say you're going to gain a lot of popularity doing things slowly, much the same way that Bitcoin has gained security and longevity by doing things slowly. This is the ethos, and people will support you through that.
If you want to speak to him, apparently he's going to be going to the Miami conference in March. So if you want to talk to him in person, I'm sure he's going to be surrounded by a lot of security.
Are we getting tickets?
I'll be probably really busy around that time. That's my job. But yeah, so probably not. But nonetheless, he'll be there. So if anybody wants to chat with him, maybe there's an opportunity. I kind of doubt it, but you know, a slim pickings. We'll see. But that's it, Joey. That's it for my ape-based stories. And I want to transition over to the Canadian news. And first thing I want to talk about is our sponsor, ShakePay, and they announced just today that the next 4,000 people on the wait list have earned access to the ShakePay Visa Rewards Card. And right now, you're able to earn up to 2% in Satoshis for you. Forget what the number is, first $1,000 or $2,000, whatever it is. But for the first bunch, you're able to earn 2%, which is really cool. And to give you an idea how it works, I mean, I went grocery shopping with my wife last week, used the card, and I got 6.7K in sats back from it. So it works really, really good. And then coming back home, she wanted a coffee. I stopped to buy one of the major chains over here. I don't want to give them credit because they're not sponsoring us, but got 56 sats back from purchasing a coffee from this place. So there you go. So it works out really well. But keep in mind that people that just got the card, it does take up to 72 hours to get the sats put in your card or put in your account. So keep that in mind. If you think it's going to be instant, it's not. The settlement could take up to 72 hours and then you get rewarded the sats. It's really cool stuff.
It is dope. I've been using it a lot. Even if they didn't sponsor the show, I'd be using it. We talk about those guys all the time. I guess my only question is, how fucking big is your grocery bill?
Yeah, it's big. It is big. But, you know, what are you going to do? It's every month.
I don't know. I mean, I eat a lot of food. Like, I'm, you know, growing boy, as they say. But I can't. I mean, my total sats back, I think I spent less than 300 on it. My total sats back is 5508. So how much is that? That's like
200-ish.
200 change, yeah.
A little bit less. Yeah.
I'm short Bitcoin.
I maxed it out. So $250 for purchase is all you could do right now because that's the limitation of Google Pay and Apple Pay. So if you want to exceed that, you're going to have to do it in separate transactions if they allow that. But right now, the total that you could actually put in one transaction is $250. And that's just a limitation of Google and Apple Pay.
So. Nice.
I want to move on and talk about a company that we have never talked about before. And it was informed to me by Next Level Tech. He was actually on our show, the chat section of our show last week, and he gave me some information. This company is called Global Care Capital, ticker HLTH. And it's a Bitcoin mining company that they have, you know, it's a smaller company that they mine about 1 to 1.3 Bitcoin a month. So not, you know, nothing extraordinary, but still they mine Bitcoin. So if you want to get a value play, here you go. And they just purchased some ASIC miners not too long ago. And they actually announced that they expect to break even on that investment in the very, very near future. And it will take less than 12 months after purchasing those ASIC miners to actually be profitable. And they're expecting they're going to have an additional 3+ years remaining of upside from those miners, given the lifespan of the typical Bitcoin miner. So here you go. This is actually really good. They're going to be profitable for 3 years on top of their initial purchases for those ASIC miners. So pretty cool stuff. It's very, very small, HLTH. So it's not like it's gonna compete with Bitfarms or Marathon, but you know, here you go. There's another one that's Canadian owned, and people love to hear about these stories.
Will they send us shirts?
Depends if we have their CEO on the show, because if that, I don't know. Even if they don't, I want the shirts. Global Care Capital. I don't know what the logo looks like, but what the heck? I'll wear it. I have no problems.
Me and you have joked offline about how we don't want to seem like we're just like taking shirts off every single company we talk about. But I got to be honest with you. I would take any shirt that anyone sent me and wear it.
Yeah,
you can never get enough shirts. I'm burning through shirts like crazy at the gym. Like I'm wearing 2-3 shirts a day, man. I'll take as many shirts as I can get.
Yeah, we'll throw it under the rotation. No problem at all. I have no shame in that whatsoever. Moving on, Joey, let's talk about Hive. And they announced record-breaking revenue of $52.6 million and earnings for their second quarter ending September 30th, 2021. They mined 656 Bitcoin and over 8,688 Ethereum during the three-month period ending September 30th, 2021. They earned a net income of $59.8 million for that period. So that's actually really, really interesting that, you know, they're still growing. The price, if you recall at that time, this is going to be from July, August, September. July, we were at its kind of lowest for the year. So if they're reporting this kind of numbers now, this is actually really good because going forward, their numbers are going to be gangbusters. Hive, I think, is the first publicly traded Bitcoin mining company in Canada, if I recall correctly. So it's one of the legacy and the OG trading, publicly traded companies. So I wish them the best. I kind of wish they didn't mine Ethereum though, but they do it and whatever. Let them do what they got to do.
Are you holding any Hive? Like, there was obviously a huge fire sale today on basically every Bitcoin related equity, Bitcoin, anything with like Bitcoin adjacent or involved or included or on the balance sheet took an absolute shit kicking. So Hive down just shy of 7.5%. And if you're into it, man, like I was saying to our buddy today in a separate chat that, you know, if my line of credit is starting to get a little high because I'm pulling a lot of money off that thing, buying Bitcoin and buying some of these equities. So if you're bullish long term, this is like a gift, man. Ethereum mining or not, you know, they're going to eventually come around just like everyone else. So,
yeah. And, you know, I do own a very, very small play. So not a very large bag of Hive, but I do have it. So, yeah, I wish them the best because it will help me out too. So nonetheless, Joey, let's move on and talk about, again, the company we talk about on a weekly basis, Luxfolio. And they acquired and accepted the delivery of an additional bunch of miners. Their hash rate is up 162% since September 1st. They announced the delivery of 100 Bitmain S19J Pro miners, and they're operating a total production rate of 131 petahash per second. And that's an increase hash rate of 6.5% since the beginning of November alone. So just this month, they went up 6.5%. And at the current mining rates, Luxfolio is earning approximately 22 to 24 Bitcoin per month from its mining operations. This increases their projected mining capacity to, they plan to increase their mining capacity to 366 petahash by the middle of 2022. So I like it. There's always good news almost on a weekly basis from Luxfolio. Great company. And they're just doing the right things. I have a very small play in it too. So I wish them the best because, again, it would help me out tremendously.
Yeah, I'm not holding Lux. Actually, Connor's in the chat saying he went miner shopping. I really should be buying even more than I have of all these guys. Maybe tomorrow I'll get back on that. But
hell yeah.
We give Lux. I mean, we kind of joke about Luxfolio. They started out on this show as like a meme because we talked about them literally every week, and now their CEO is a week out from an appearance. And like you said, you know, if we look at the news ledger for Canadian Bitcoiners podcast, I don't think there's a single debit on the Luxfolio side. Where they're constantly making the right moves, right? So
it was just that Ethereum mining purchase. They purchased a company, I think, down south that mines Ethereum. That's the
M&A though. Like, who cares? I don't really care.
Well, you've always talked about it. What's going to happen when, if ever, ETH transitions to ETH 2.0 and the miners, like, what's going to happen with them? I suspect they'll go to Ethereum Classic. That's my guess, but I don't know. I mean, that's going to be something that will have to be addressed. But then again, ETH 2.0 just might be vaporware. It may never come to fruition. So who the hell knows, right?
I'm not sure. I don't mind that. You know, I shouldn't say I don't mind the story. It's a good story. They're adding hash power very quickly. We're going to see, though. Like I said, I'm going to ask Dean when he comes on, you know, how do I know these are not quote-unquote beginner gains, to use a gym term? We'll see what the growth is like.
Okay, let's move on and talk about Liquid. And Liquid LQWD, publicly traded, they launched their Bitcoin Lightning Network platform. And this is the launch of the Liquid.tech. This is the company's proprietary multi-pronged Lightning Network software platform. It's a software as a service, and it will deploy a portion of the substantial Bitcoin holdings that they have to secure additional nodes and provide liquidity to the platform, enabling the company to earn transaction fees on the growing network. But the transaction fees, just keep in mind, typically are very small. You don't earn a lot of transaction fees with a Lightning No, just food for thought. But what's this actually going to do? It's going to enable users that are going to use this new software. It's going to easily create and manage Lightning Network nodes, transact securely, privately, and basically instantly on the network. It will create Lightning channels with effective routing, and it will manage and request the liquidity more efficiently. That's the routing is kind of the bane of the Lightning Network node operator. If this kind of automates the process, that's great. And if this could help make it easy for somebody to onboard a business to onboard onto the Lightning Network, this is a software that could actually explode. LQWD, check it out. I like it. We actually had their CEO on the show not too long ago, Sean. So yeah, good company, and yeah, good CEO as well.
Okay, here's a question for you. This is 100% speculation, not financial advice. Lightspeed is a Canadian point of sale company that is in a bit of hot water thanks to a short report and just some negative sentiment around their PE and growth and whatever. Is there a world in your mind where someone like Liquid partners up with someone like Lightspeed and makes some kind of Lightning Network capable POS software for Canadian retailers? Because I think that it's clear to me that these guys at least know each other, right? It's such a small space in Canada. So these fintech guys, they know each other, even if it's just like, you know, saying hello to each other at a conference. They've met over the years. And so I would be curious about what the likelihood of something like this is when a company needs a little bit of a sentiment pump and wants to get, you know, I don't want to say relevant, but they want to become more relevant again, because Lightspeed was a darling for a long time and, you know, recently kind of got kicked off the curb there. But what do you think? Is that feasible in your mind?
You know, it's hard for me to even give you any feedback on that. Maybe I don't know much about Lightspeed. What I do know, I was on Ryan's channel just on the chat box, and he was ripping into Lightspeed. He was saying that it's in comparison to the alternatives out there. It's got ways to go. So I just don't know enough. Maybe that's a good way of connecting dots. I like it, but sorry, Joey, I can't give much feedback on that. That's something we could talk about in the future.
Pure speculation, man. I'm always trying to think about where I might see these guys pop up. Because Liquid's the Lightning thing makes sense for a lot of different companies. It's just a question of who can you partner with. So let's see.
The companies that would utilize it the most, or the industry that utilize it the most, I think would be restaurants, because right now, you know, they're taking a haircut every time somebody swipes the card. You know, 2-4% is gone every time that's done. Mm-hmm. And if they could reduce that to near 0% loss for transaction fees, it's going to make the business itself way more profitable. I think that's where it's going to have a chance to shine, but we'll see. We'll see what happens and who's going to be able to roll that out. Which restaurant is going to be the first to do it? I don't know. They're doing it.
Which one, Len? Which one you think? Huh? I don't know. Guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I have no freaking clue. Okay, I want to move on, Joey. I want to talk about the Bitcoin Well and their partner Rapid Cash. They announced 100 plus new ATMs in Canco's retail convenience stores across Canada. And this is actually really good news because it runs on the Bitcoin Well Ghost ATM software exclusively. So it's giving a lot more exposure for Bitcoin Well across Canada. And it's going to also give a lot more exposure to Canadians to Bitcoin, as they have an opportunity to purchase Bitcoin at one of those new Bitcoin ATMs. All in all, good news.
A lot of ATM talk on this show the last little while. We had Ali talking about how they partner with Bitcoin Well to put the ATMs in, and Bitcoin Well has made a few appearances the last little while as far as additional opportunities to buy Bitcoin if you're a Canadian citizen. So maybe time to pay attention to the equity price. I mean, they're probably getting killed today like everyone else. So if you like ATMs as a service, I know you're kind of smirking too. I don't know how much I like it still, but
no, I think it's all right. And you know what? There's actually a promotion going on, some sort of Black Friday promotion that the Bitcoin Well is running. I don't know exactly what it is, but I think you get like 10% extra Bitcoin for your purchase, something like that.
That's a lot.
So, and yeah, I was actually thinking maybe I'll use my ShakePay Visa card on top of it and double up. I was just wondering if that's a possibility. Something I'll have to explore. And if that's the case, it's going to be a great way to stack sats and just making sure that I don't want to game the system. But anyways, Let's talk about iMining. We talked about them briefly last week. We don't talk about them all too much, and they're CanETH Staking Services. It's their wholly owned subsidiary of iMining. They purchased, get this, Joey, 500 million Shiba Inu tokens. What the fuck are you guys doing, iMining?
What? Come on.
You know, I'm saying this because iMining, up until now, I've been saying that they're a Bitcoin mining company. Now they've bought 500 million SHIB, and they paid, from what I understand, $26,000 worth of Ethereum tokens to initiate the staking of the SHIB. $26,000 worth of Ethereum, that must be, you know, another $15,000 on top of it for the gas fees. So it's going to be a lot of money that's going to be spent on that. But why the heck are they buying that much SHIB for staking it? So if you are in iMining and you think it's a strictly a Bitcoin play, it's no longer the case. They're now in a SHIB, 500 million SHIB at that. What the heck are you guys doing, man? What the heck?
What kind of, like, why would you buy SHIB? I don't, like, what's the reason? What's the rationale? That's a public company, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the rationale? Like, where's the, when, you know, is that on the investor call? Is that in the IR deck? Where, like, where is it? What's the point?
If it was, Joey, how many people must have been fucking laughing their asses off when they heard that? They must have thought it was April Fool's or something. No, I don't know what changed their attention to say, okay, we're now no longer strictly a Bitcoin mining company. No, we're going to also stake some SHIB going forward.
I don't understand if you're going to stake, like, there's a million... And I can't believe I'm saying this, okay? But like, there's a million better tokens to stake in the DeFi world than fucking SHIB. Come on, man. Enough with the dogs. Figure it out. It's not that hard.
So yeah, iMining. What the fuck? What the fuck? But Joey, let's move on. Let's talk about a company we talk about favorably, and it's Fortress Technologies. And if you recall, this is a company that has Marty Bent as one of the directors. They provided strategic updates for their venture with GAM. That's Great American Mining. They recently purchased 180 Watts miner machines. So basically, they're going to be obviously increasing their hash rate. This partnership is going to increase it to 158 petahash per second. They're having right now some issues with supply chain issues with having everything deployed. So keep in mind, if you think everything's going to be ramping up really fast, it's going to take some time because of the supply chain issue. And this is a company that ultimately wants to get up to 645 petahash in 2022. So they're buying a lot more of those Watts miner mining rigs. Really good news. I like it. And it's a company that is run, or at least they have somebody on the board, Marty Bent. So he's a very smart individual, and I wish them the best, because Fortress seems to be doing all the right things.
We got to get Marty on the show. If you're on the stream right now or listening, tweet at Marty and tell him that we talk about Fortress and that I hate ESG and that I want him to come on the show. And I would love to pick his brain about the stuff that's going on at GAM, because we kind of talk from the outside of the black box, the energy world, from what we see in the kind of the news releases, and we try and put together some stuff that we see on Twitter and connect the dots. But man, Marty, you know, he's in the business, and Fortress is in the business, and GAM is in the business. And I would love to hear the ways that they're skirting, I don't want to say slapping down and making irrelevant, but skirting some of the ESG desires of local and federal governments, because I think they're obviously doing, like you said, they're doing something right, and it seems to me that they're not having any trouble making it happen. So let's see. Marty, come on the show, man. Come on the show.
Yeah, now. Come on, man. Come on. So let's talk about Canada Computational Limited. It's traded under the ticker SATO, S-A-T-O. And they announced their best quarter in history with Q3 2021 financial results, including revenue growth of 247% from quarter three 2020. This is a very small Bitcoin mining company, just keep in mind. So these numbers, you know, they might be reporting very, very large. I mean, the revenue grew 1,778%. So it's very, very large numbers, but still, it's a small company. So nonetheless, if you want to get on the ground floor of a company that is small but seems to be growing, Canada Computational Unlimited, ticker SATO.
Great name for a company. I love hearing these companies like that I've never sort of like talked about before, or we've never mentioned before, the names they come up with. Like this, that's great. Canada Computational Unlimited.
And very SATO, nice. You know what that stands for?
No.
Satoshi. So they use it's a a nod to Satoshi. So I like it. I mean,
it's very regal name.
It sure is. They drink their coffee with their pinky up too and everything. So Joey, last Canadian news item I want to talk about is something that's going to hit close to home for you.
Oh boy, here we go.
There is some teenager, and he was accused of stealing cryptocurrency, $46 million dollars worth. From what I understand, he was doing this by doing some sort of SIM swap deal where he's able to pretend to be the customer and from that gain access to the wallets and whatever. Nonetheless, $46 million apparently this young gentleman stole from customers. And the purpose for all this money, well, he bought a rare gamer tag. So if I could talk to this gentleman, I would say, what the heck are you doing? Why are you buying shit like that where you could easily just, you know, invest it in something else? Rare gamer tag, you might as well bought a fucking NFT and just piss away the money that way. Same thing would have happened. Anyways, this is close to home for you, Joey. I'm not sure if you want to talk anymore about it, but I'm basically done talking about the story.
I actually do. Couple reasons. Okay. One, I would be lying if I said that I had not inquired about the @Joey Twitter handle to the guy who owns it. I wanted to know what it would cost. The answer is
which platform?
Twitter. And the answer is he doesn't want to sell it. So that tells you that it's probably some ungodly number. If I ever make it, if you want to know if the show is really making money, if I change my handle to @JOEY, you'll know we're fucking loaded. Okay. But until then, the show is just, you know, just scraping by. We're just here talking shit. So I don't talk shit to my wife. I actually like this story because the kid, like you mentioned, is from my hometown. And, you know, when I was a kid, Len, when I wanted to stir up trouble, like I remember being in grade 11 and 12, I think probably the dumbest thing I ever did was shoot paintball guns at a bus one time from a park. That was like probably very much illegal, like very illegal. That's probably the dumbest thing I ever did. You know, or steal chromies from, you know, cars in Limeridge Mall's parking lot. I used to amass tons of chromies. I remember my parents found a giant bag of chromies in my room and I had to pretend that I had just like found them. They obviously fucking knew.
Mercedes.
Yeah. So, you know, all this stuff, right? And, you know, this kid steals $50 million in Bitcoin with a SIM swap. And I was looking at the comments under the CBC story on Twitter, and it's what you'd expect. It's like, this kid needs guidance. His parents are absentee. Like, he's never going to be able to find a job now. His life is ruined, blah, blah, blah. So I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe Reddit's a little more ahead of the curve on this. I go to Reddit, same thing, just smooth brain mouth breathers talking about how this kid's going to go to jail and his life is over, blah, blah. You got to be fucking stupid to think that. If you're so fucking dumb to think that this kid is not going to have every major tech company lining up to talk to him about how he did it, okay, at whatever, he's 16, I think, right? Is he 15 or 16?
I don't know his age. I just know he's a teenager.
I think he said 15 on one of the places had it as 15 or 16. So he's very young. So he's able to execute a remote SIM swap with somebody and jack their $50 million in Bitcoin from one person. So
is it one person?
Yeah, as far as I know. So people are like, well, he did it to a friend. Like, no, dummy. He didn't do it to a friend. None of his friends got $50 million in Bitcoin. He swindled somebody major. And so this kid is going to
have $50 million on one wallet. Like this kid, a hot wallet at that.
Yeah, this kid is going to be – he's going places. And so when you when you see on Reddit people who are like, he's never going to get a job, his life is ruined, these people are not thinking. And if they are, you know, they don't have the they don't have the cranial horsepower to come up with the actual outcome that's gonna materialize here over the next decade. He's gonna be working at a tech company. This kid is bright. He's misguided, but he's bright. And tech companies are looking for stuff like that because you can't teach initiative and you can't teach charm, but you sure can give guidance and sort of focus a spotlight into a laser. And good for this kid, man. I wish it wasn't so, you know, such a poor idea as far as the other side of the theft, like a gamer tag. I mean, you could probably do better than a gamer tag, but hey, you know, he did something that's very difficult to do. And, you know, once he pays his dues for this, he'll be rewarded with, I think, you know, a good job and some guidance from someone who understands his plights. And I wish the kid all the best.
Do you think iMining is going to be coming knocking on his door, asking him to come on
board? Somehow I doubt it. They bought maybe. Shiba, so I doubt
it. Well, you know what? They might be going into the R coin and staking that. So this might be up his alley. I don't know.
Like doing executing a sim swap, I have no idea what goes into that. But like when it comes to like the gap between not sim swapping and getting the 50 million, you're talking about social engineering, you're talking about technological hurdles, you're talking about a lot of stuff.
I think I could be wrong, so please correct me if I am. I think it's as simple as just calling up the phone company and just pretending you're the customer, and somehow they are able to give you some information. So I think that is how it's done. I could be wrong, so please inform me if I am. But
if you're in the chat and know, tell us, because I really don't know.
I'm unfortunately not
technologically inclined in that way. Although I think I could social engineer somebody. You think you could do that? I mean, I socially engineered my wife into marrying me. That was a scam for all time, right? So
that was more of a swindle. I don't think it's more of a social engineering thing. But anyway, that's it for the it's for the Canadian news. Actually, yeah, let's talk about the rest of the news, and let's talk about the saga, which is transpiring right now in Marathon. And the CEO from Marathon was saying there's no accusations, we've done anything wrong. So there's a lot going on right now in Marathon. The price of their stock took it to the teeth. They're just absolutely just in the past 7 days, wasn't maybe a little more than 7 days, whatever it was, they lost like a week and a half worth of gains, and all just gone because of some SEC investigations that's going on. And on top of all that, there's some class action lawsuits that looks like they're developing. There's a couple of different law firms, from what I understand, they're trying to seek out investors that may have lost money. So there's a lot going on here. Even with all that being said, I still think, again, this is not financial advice, that it's a good buy to get into Marathon. And the reason why I think it's a good buy is because they are going to be moving up to 13 exahash per second by next year. And just because of that, they're going to be able to get a lot of Bitcoin, that they'll be able to earn a lot of Bitcoin when they mine it. Right now, I think they're the largest holder of Bitcoin from any publicly traded Bitcoin miner. So they have a big stash of Bitcoin on the reserves. So if need be, if they have to pay a fine, they could easily liquidate some of the Bitcoin they have and replenish it with the Bitcoin that they will be mining. I think Marathon is a good play right now at the price. I think it has a lot of ways to move up. Granted, this isn't the greatest of news, being investigated by the SEC. I'm not going to downplay it. But that being said, I think there's a lot more good here than there is bad, Joey. It's just
Marathon off another 10 points today, by the way. So yeah. 40%-ish from where it was a week ago. Like, is it really 40% less company than it was a week ago? I don't know, man. That's a huge drop.
After hours, what was it? It was up too, after, from what I understand? Or
it's up a little after hours, but I mean...
It stabilized.
Yeah, it's up 0.1%.
So it didn't go down.
10 bips, yeah. Well, I mean, okay, cool. It's you're still drowning. You're way underwater on that. I think, again, yeah, not financial advice, but how can you not like the company? When can you tell me, Len, when was the last time the SEC put somebody out of business that was this size? The answer is fucking never. So unless these guys are going to be shuttering shop, I would say if you like Marathon, like the mining aspect and like the sort of, the capital they have available to deploy at any given moment, that's a buy, man. And actually, some people on Twitter were messaging me that last week following the show and just following the SEC news that it's a no-brainer. But I don't have that. Yeah. Maybe I'll get some this week. I'm not sure.
This is a long-term play because this whole SEC stuff, let's be honest, it's going to be lingering for a little while, and it's going to impact the price, the performance of the stock. So keep that in mind. If you're going to buy in now, don't expect massive gains in a week, 2 weeks, a month, or even 2 months. Wait, hang on to this till they fully deploy it, those tens of thousands of miners that they plan on deploying in the next 6 to 8 months. Once that happens and they start reporting their quarterly reports, fucking this is going to go nuts, man. It's going to go absolute bonkers. Just
hash rate talks. People like hash rate, much the same way that you've seen some other terms kind of become part of the zeitgeist on Twitter. Stuff like, mining, for example, is now covered by the media quite a bit. The China mining ban, mining is environmentally unfriendly. The next thing that's going to come into the zeitgeist is hash rate. And like once that gets there, the normie retailers are going to be like, oh, who's got the most hash rate? Well, here's the companies. It's Hut, it's Mara, it's, whatever, Bitfarms, Hive, you pick your equity. And that's where the money's going to go. Because that's the most transparent metric. and the most, it's the simplest way to kind of like, you know, put together an ROI calculation, right? Because you can't really do an ROI calculation or an expected value calculation without knowing how much hash rate the company has. And so people are going to start talking about that, I think, in the next little while. It's the next logical step, I think.
Yeah, people will be talking about it, learning about it. And you know what? It's going to be part of the reports going forward for all these companies. Yeah, so we might as well digest it. Moving on, Joey, let's talk about the mobile cloud software firm called Funware, P-H-U-N-ware. They bought another 398 Bitcoin, and this brings up their total reserves to 529. This is traded under the ticker FUN, P-H-U-N. So it's another company that's doing the MicroStrategy approach of buying more Bitcoin and putting it on the reserves. I like it. I want to see more companies like this do it, because every time we have a success story, it's just going to snowball from there and we'll have more and more companies doing it. Right now, it looks like Funware is on the MicroStrategy bandwagon.
Funware. I got to know, what is your process for like what is the net you cast for these stories to find Funware, P-H-U-N? I haven't heard of a company named Funware before. I remember Fat Farm from when we were kids. It was P-H-A-T-F-A-R-M.
So, I mean, you follow the right people on Twitter, like BTC Archives, I think is one, or something like that. There's a few Bitcoin-related specific, they just rehash news stories. And if you follow them, you get these. You just, you know, I'm not searching Funware. I don't follow them. I don't think we've talked about Funware before. And no. I don't know if we'll talk about them again, but that's where I get it from. These specific, like, they just rehash all these stories and they did it. They talked about this one. I was like, oh, shit, this looks pretty interesting. We'll talk about it. But there you go. I mean, this is, it's under, traded under the NASDAQ. So keep that in mind if you're looking for fun. It's a US-based company, from what I understand.
Getting on the MSTR schedule, not the worst thing in the world, that's for sure.
No, yeah. I do it. Let's move on and talk about the Bitcoin miner Iris Energy, and this is the Australian Bitcoin miner mining company. They started trading on the NASDAQ. Their IPO was completed on November 19th under the ticker IREN. From what I understand, they started trading around a $22 mark, and today they're about the $22.64 mark. So they took a little bit of a dive. But here you go. It's another company, another Bitcoin mining company traded on the NASDAQ. If you want to get in on it, they're Australian-based, so I'm not exactly sure how they're mining, what sort of energy they're using, et cetera, but more options is good for us to have. And here you go. IREN is another one that's publicly traded.
They mine with the energy that people use running away from police trying to get out of their homes. It's
a lot of energy.
Unlimited energy at this stage over there. Old prison colony there. Man, I don't want to get demonetized, but pretty close. So,
but you didn't see what they're running away from. It could be, you know.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Could be kangaroo thief for all we know.
A lot of big insects over there I see on YouTube, so you never know.
That is true, yeah. They have like scorpions and shit like that. Yeah, stay away from over there if you don't like bigger bugs. Anyways, let's move on. Let's talk about, let's see what we have here. $587 million of Bitcoin longs, Joey, was just liquidated in the past week. So we had a little bit of a dive in the price of Bitcoin. As a result, a lot of people that were leveraged long, you know, they got screwed over because the price dropped. And I'm just going to go back to this. Why are you playing around with the leverage trading? I think a really good way to do a pseudo leverage is buy a Bitcoin miner. It does go up more than the spot price of BTC typically does if you get the right company. It does also go down more than the spot price of BTC. But at the end of the day, even if it tanks, you still have the capital, at least some of the capital you put in there. It's not going to be liquidated and you lose it all. So consider that, people. If you are doing these leverage trades, stop doing it and buy Bitcoin miners instead. I think it's a better way of putting your money. It's a little bit safer.
The upside on leverage trading is like, it's astronomical. It's huge. And everyone knows this. I've never done a leverage trade, but you know, if you follow like whale alerts and stuff like that, or there used to be like a BitMEX, when BitMEX was like a big exchange, there used to be like a BitMEX kill streak bot that would like lay out the number, like the number of basically like how much destruction was coming down on the longs and the shorts during big vol price moves. It was like triple kill, quadruple kill, godlike. It was like all the old Unreal tournament like kill banners, and it was an awesome account. Like Len said, if you're if you're fucking around with leverage, like, I don't know, man. You know, there's other ways to get your kicks, you know? Go skydiving. You know, do free climb on a very smooth rock face with, you know, without a bungee cord. Tell your wife she's gained a little weight. You know, many different ways to get your kicks and really, you know, find thrilling opportunities to challenge yourself and see really what kind of stones you have. But leverage ain't one of them. And, you know, the other thing too is that generally the positions when you get liquidated, Len, you know, you'll know this. We talked about this before. They don't liquidate your fiat position. They liquidate your Bitcoin position. Like, you lose so much more than just like your tokens, man. And I don't get it. And like you said, the miners and MSTR and even something like the lead in Bitcoin to, you know, the B2X loans, that's a pseudo leverage play, but it's way less risky than, you know, going 10X on Bittrex or BitMEX or FTX or whatever, pick your gray exchange or even your sanctioned exchange that has these options. I would just say, man, you know, cool it, buy Bitcoin. If you need something more, you know, whatever, I don't know, go skateboarding down a steep hill. I just don't know what to tell you. Yeah, unless you got money to burn and you like the feeling of being more poor than you were 10 minutes ago, then sure. Just especially on these price points. Like Sailor was talking today, or maybe not today, but there's a video I was watching today about how, you know, the volatility, it's the same all the time. We hit an all-time high and then there's a huge volatility spike. And so you're expecting a giant move every time there's an all-time high. Who the fuck is going long into 68? Who's doing that? You got to be nuts. Like, I wanted it to keep moving. I thought it was going to keep moving, but you're never going to catch me risking the stack on a long move. Like, this thing has a mind of its own. Just relax. Step away from the computer, man. Step away from the computer. Go do some color by numbers or something. They got those books for adults now because we can't cope with anything. So go do that.
Joey, did you hear that Amazon will stop accepting payments from UK registered Visa cards?
I
from did. 2022, and this is due to high fees charged to processing transactions. I'm wondering what's going to happen moving forward. Are they going to transition to Litecoin? Probably not. I think it's probably going to be Lightning. I can't guarantee it or anything, but I think it's more of a likely scenario. If they're talking about high fees and Visa, Amazon's talking about this. Clearly, there's an issue here that needs to be addressed. And they might be playing chicken with Visa to try to force them to lower their fees. Or it may be a way for Amazon just to ditch Visa and find something else that is going to be much cheaper for them to take transaction fees or to do transactions with. So this is interesting news. This is going to be developing obviously in the next few months. What transpires from this, I don't know. But keep your eyes on this. It's going to be very interesting stuff.
This is the beginning of something pretty major, I think. I could be dreaming that, but I think that if I look at like the fee sort of environment, it seems to me there's some friction here that I didn't know existed. You know, if you had told me that Amazon was considering moving from credit card companies on the basis of fees, I would have said, no way. Like, it doesn't seem reasonable. I'm sure they're not making Amazon pay those fees, or there's got to be some scaling issue that, you know, they can help resolve and Amazon doesn't mind the fees, or they're getting a sweetheart deal, something. But it's not the case. They're actually moving away from one of the duopoly providers. And I think, like, okay, if they're willing to make this move, then maybe maybe I was wrong about Amazon adopting Lightning, because there's no fees on that. And if they're okay with the underlying asset, like with the Bitcoin coming in, then that's really, you know, that's a significant degree of separation that just got erased, is this idea that they're actually thinking about fees on their credit card duopoly sort of providers. So that's major, I think. Let's watch how this turns out over the next, you know, year, 2 years.
Could you imagine how many transactions they process? And keep in mind, this is only for the UK, so it's not worldwide. But think about the UK, how many transactions they process, and they're getting dinged, whatever it is, 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%.
Yeah.
And all of those, they could just basically bring it down to near zero. How much more profitable could the UK version of Amazon be as a result of that? I don't know. it's a lot of more extra revenue that they could have. They could redeploy elsewhere. Interesting stuff. But yeah,
not to mention that Amazon's had a couple of downward revisions on earnings, right? Like, you know, Ryan's in the chat. He can tell you, he does an equity show too. That, you know, they're not struggling at all. Actually, they've been ripping the last little while. But, you know, if there was ever a time where they had to speak to shareholders about fee reduction, shit, it might be now, might be soon if it's not now. And I'm glad to see they're thinking about it for sure. And I am a shareholder. I want that. I'm happy about that.
Let's talk about a few more stories. First off, we'll talk about Square. They released its Bitcoin exchange white paper. So it looks like there's going to be a DEX they're going to be rolling out. It's called TBDEX. Square is going balls deep into Bitcoin. This is another endeavor which they're going to be pursuing with Bitcoin-related ideas. I like it. I like to see exactly how this plays out. But being a DEX might not jive with regulators. So I'm kind of skeptical how this is going to play out, because they're going to piss some people off in this whole process.
Jack is picking sides. And, you know, we talked about this on our Friday spaces. We talk about Jack a lot on those spaces because the Green Candle Boys who host it, they're sort of on the fence. I think you and I are both pro Jack. You know, and I look at this story and I think, okay, you know, the white paper, I haven't read through it yet, but the commentary I saw from, you know, guys like Logscale who were doing spaces last week, and, you know, a few other friends of the show and friends of ours on Twitter who were talking about it, Massa, I think included, it seems to me that they're trying to skirt USD on ramps. And like, that's, you know, that's a bed you maybe don't want to make unless you know for sure you're going to be okay laying in it. And he, you know, if anyone knows, it's him. But I also worry, again, Square shareholder, so full disclosure. I also worry that he's just going to ignore the US market completely when it comes to Bitcoin. Is it possible that he is going to build this whole thing in the third world? The more I think about what he's done the last little while, the more I think that's actually possible. Because Lightning and all that stuff, and Mallers' strike and all that, you know, the tipping, and, you know, there's a lot of things in the U.S. that make that difficult, but there's a lot of things outside of the U.S. that just don't exist the same way. And, you know, I'm looking at this DEX and, you know, his funding, for example, of NIMS, basically, like the Bitcoin Developers Fund the Square runs, that presumably, like, none of those people are paying taxes on these things, even though they probably should be because they're doing work or whatever. Like, are they contractors? I have no idea how that works. But this is a lot of money going out the door that's basically, like, you know, he's not quite flipping the bird to the U.S. regulatory picture, but he's getting pretty close. So I don't know. Let's see. I mean, I'm not going to sell my Square. That's for sure. I like the company and I like Jack as a CEO. I'm not going to sell, but interesting times, man. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be picking sides here pretty soon, because there's no doubt that LATAM is moving quickly. We talked about Naib and, you know, we talked about other LATAM regions in the past. They're moving quickly and the United States is dragging their feet. And, you know, this thing isn't going to wait for people, right? And we're seeing that now. So let's see if this has an effect on his standing with regulators, and if it has an effect on the LATAM development. I can't wait.
Maybe the regulators are kind of busy right now, because we just got news this today, actually, in fact, that Jerome Powell, his term has been renewed. So he's going to be sitting at the helm for a little while longer. Whatever that means, I'm not sure, but he's the chief that's going to be doing his thing. His track record is it is what it is. I mean, it's easy to see what he's done in the past little while. His hands were kind of forced in some cases. Maybe in other cases it was not. But nonetheless, I think all in all, it's probably good news for Bitcoin that he's still there. Just my two cents.
Can you hear my dog absolutely obliterating a rawhide behind me?
No.
He's absolutely destroying this thing. Like, it has no chance in the world. I'm glad you can't hear it.
Does he not like Jerome Powell? Is that the problem?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't think he's dovish enough. Obviously, you know, the markets don't think Powell is dovish enough. I think a lot of them were banking on Lyle Baird taking over. And or was it Laird or Baird? I forget. But the other woman who was sort of on the ticket. Like, how much more money you got to print for equities to not drop 5% on the news that Powell is going to take over? This guy can't even say – he can't even say that he's thinking about raising rates, and he's not enough for AOC and these other people who, you know, don't understand how money works. Oh, she has a degree in economics. I don't fucking care. It's obvious she doesn't understand. You know, so this stuff is like – it's really not that hard to figure out what's coming next. You know, Johnny's in the chat saying Powell's more hawkish. I know he's more hawkish than the alternative, but the alternative is literally MMT. Like, you know, it's even more MMT than this. Right now, we're just like baby MMT. Pretty soon, you know, if Kelton and her pals come through the door, it's over. I I don't know. I'm fine with this. Like, I really have no preference on who the Fed chair is as far as, you know, Powell or someone else. I know one thing. They're not going to go more hawkish than Powell now because they've seen what the outcome is politically. And the Democrats, you know, not to get political, but their entire party is, you know, built on free shit. So you got trillions here, trillions there. It's not going to cost anything. We're going to throw a trillion at and it's going to, you know, destroy inflationary pressures. Like, none of it's true, obviously, but you can't do all this stuff with anyone more hawkish than Powell. So he's going to stay. And if he does get replaced, it's going to be with somebody who's even more friendly to, you know, the ultimate airdrop, the USD helicopter money. So
keep coming in. But the writing campaign I did failed. I wanted Greg Foss to take that position, but for whatever reason, they never even considered my submission. Whatever it is, we'll just
move on. We got to ask Greg about that on Wednesday because he's the guy to ask, right? Foss, yeah. He's coming on Wednesday if you're listening or watching this. So by the time you listen, if you're not on the live stream, you know, he'll be on with us this afternoon. We should ask him about Powell. It's good point, actually. He'll have lots to say. I'm not worried about Greg rolling downhill on this program. I'll tell you that.
Blackout moments are just going to be part of his shtick. Three more things. Will be quick. Bitcoin tips, they rolled out on Twitter for Android devices. I have an Android phone, so I feel whole now. The fact that I can do and receive Bitcoin tips on through Twitter. So congratulations to people like me that are Android users. Next story, just brief. Talk about Odell Beckham Jr. Did you hear that he's taking his entire salary in Bitcoin?
I did, but like Odell Beckham Jr., he's on my fantasy team, by the way.
He scored zero touchdowns this year, right?
He sucks. He's on my fantasy team. I was so hyped about this 14 league team that I drafted. I put it on Twitter. I'm like, I can't believe all these guys I got. I'm fucking 2-9. I'm out of the fucking picture.
There's nothing wrong with tanking because then you get a great pick next year. Oh shit,
not how it works.
Doesn't apply.
There drafts every year.
Darn. Okay, yeah. So, tough luck. Maybe next year, Joey. Next up, and this is the last story I have, and this coming Friday, just a heads up, is the last Friday of the month. Typically, there's some changes that happen to the price of Bitcoin because options expire on the last Friday of the month. You know, it just take a look what history's done in the, you know, on these last Fridays of the month. So more often than not, I think we have very positive gains in Bitcoin, but, you know, sometimes it's not always the case. So if you want to check it out, take a look at it. You know, it's very interesting to see what type of movement takes place on that day. And I suspect we'll have the same thing happen this Friday, Joey. So I'm not sure if you're going to be doing anything to play that, to time it or anything, but I'm not. I'm just doing my thing. But some people may want to do it.
I did jack up my daily buys to, I don't even know if I should say, I'm buying 20 bucks a million a day now, $20 a day of Bitcoin, which is more than I usually buy. But on these price dips, like I won't put into my TFSA and that's all. Like you can't miss opportunities like this. Like I can't in, you know, good conscience run a Bitcoin show and, you know, not be really dumping, you know, in a degenerate fashion as much money as I can into Bitcoin during the dips. So you know, end of the week, end of the month, end of the year, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Just I'll be here with my cigarette in my hand, just smoking while that thing expires and the next candle starts. I'll just be buying all the way down, all the way up. Doesn't matter to me.
And that's it, Joey. Yeah, I'm not sure if you have a Bitcoiner of the week you want to bring up.
I don't have a Bitcoiner of the week. Do you?
Can I bring up one?
Man, there's tons of them this week. I've been saving them on my Twitter profile trying to like remember which one I'm going to use, and then I get busy with work on Monday, and then I didn't get the notes until for the show until today because I didn't look at the right app on my phone. boomer move. But I don't have one. If you have one, I'm all ears.
Yeah, and what it's an easy one for me. I went with Jack Dorsey for two reasons. Number one, I can now do the Twitter tips on my Android device. Fantastic, I love it. But the second that he's going ahead with that exchange, that decentralized exchange under Square's umbrella, he's done a lot very good for the Bitcoin community. He continues to do a lot of very good things to the Bitcoin community. I'm not sure if he's been a previous Bitcoiner of the week for me, but if he hasn't, it's long overdue. And he truly is, in my eyes, a very good Bitcoiner. And for me, he's the Bitcoiner of the week this week.
Are you going to do a Hill Dog for your No Coiner?
I got a dual No Coiner. And do you know what? Obviously, you don't want
to. I don't want Hill Dog. I'm just trying to ramp people. I'm trying to amp up the crowd here because I think you're going to do Hillary, and I want you to do Hillary, and I'm not going to do her. So
it's not going to be what you expect, though, in terms of her. I'm going to be brief because, let's be honest, what more can I say about her that needs to be said? Because
she's like, when people put up that fancy lizard drinking wine JPEG, like, it's about her. Like, she's like the fancy lizard that they're talking about. Everyone knows this, I'm pretty sure.
But I don't
like
know.
All her friends.
What is it she's trying to protect here? You know, let's be perfectly
Wait,
frank.
Okay, don't start. I got a shitty one. So I'm just going to do mine fast. Then I'll let you bulldoze. So the Biden energy secretary, Jennifer Granholm, today on rising gas prices. We're working through an energy transition. The reality is we have to take some time to get off oil and gas. We recognize this. This is a transition. This person is saying the quiet part out loud. Okay. I know it's not directly Bitcoin related, but this is what you're up against. Okay. These people don't give a flying fuck about the price of gas and how it affects people. They're going to keep telling you CPI is like 3%, 4%, whatever it is. And they're never going to admit that this stuff is causing problems for people until they get on a mic and they don't have the proper media training and you hear some name that you never heard before for the first time, Granholm, the energy secretary. I didn't know who she was until an hour ago. And now, you know, she's out there telling you, like, you better suck it up. You can't hack it. And while I'm at it, I'm going to talk about this Fred tweet the other day too. The fucking turkey thing. What? First of all, why is the Federal Reserve, you know, of Atlanta or wherever it was.
St. Louis.
Why are they giving me advice on what to fucking eat, first of all? Second of all, can you imagine how detached you are? Like, how much these people have to fucking hate you to tell you that there's no inflation. Okay, there's some inflation. Okay, it's higher than we thought, but it's temporary. Okay, it's higher than we thought and it's not temporary. Okay, it's going to get hotter than this in the next little while. And then they got the nerve right before Thanksgiving. Well, you're struggling, okay, to say, if you can't hack it, it's not our problem. You should be eating soy servings because it's got as much protein. I don't care how much protein it has. I want the bird. It's Thanksgiving. When the pilgrims had supper or whatever, you know, I don't know if this is even a legit story, but certainly in all the Thanksgiving, you know, tales and stories and the Thanksgivings of old where your family got together and there was much travel and much ado about this, they weren't eating fucking soybeans. They were eating bird. That's the Thanksgiving tradition. And so these people hate you. Remember they hate you and don't play this game. Get Bitcoin, protect yourself against inflation because they don't care. They don't care how much you're struggling with gas. They don't care how much you're struggling with soy. They don't care about any of that shit. Okay? So stop playing their game. Don't talk to them. Don't give them civility. Don't entertain the bullshit. Insult them, degrade them, be degenerate with them on Twitter and make sure that you understand that it's up to you to protect yourself, not anybody else. That was more than I thought I was going
to
say.
It's the fucking Federal Reserve, though. When they speak, we have to listen. I mean,
why? Why? Len, diet advice from the Federal Reserve?
No, I'm St. Louis, too. Like, I don't buy it. Like, this whole Thanksgiving thing in the United States is very, very much ritual. You go out, you get your cranberry, you get your fucking turkey, you get all this stuff, everything along with it. It's a fucking ritual, and it's been done year over year, decade over decade. And for them to come out and say you have to fucking change this ritual, why? Because they weren't able to control how much liquidity was being put in the market. It's fucking asinine. The fact.
And do you remember last year, Len, around fucking Memorial Day, the Biden administration put out that tweet about, oh, this is the cheapest, like, vanilla ice cream scoops are 8 cents less than they were this time a year ago. Like, fuck off. Fuck off. You're a fucking idiot if you eat this up, man. You're dumb.
Don't say that on Twitter, by the way.
There's no other word to talk. Like, it's just beyond the pale, man. It's beyond the pale. Ice cream is cheap. Fuck off.
Don't say that on Twitter, though. This might put you in a penalty box.
I got a 12-hour penalty yesterday on Twitter. I don't even know. I didn't read the warning on my app, and then they never sent me an email. Except to tell me that I can no longer use Twitter ads, which I've never actually used anyway. So,
whatever. Oh, shit. Does it ban you from actually seeing them? Because maybe I got to go on a tirade
and
get rid of those fucking ads.
I can see the ads, but I can no longer pay for them. Like, whoop-de-doo. I can't give you guys any money. No problem. Oh.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So I have a dual no coiner here. And one of them, obviously we know who it is. Fucking Hillary. Like, what the fuck is she trying to protect here? I still don't understand what's her intention. It's clearly she has a lot of money. Well, and I would imagine she's not the person allocating her resources. Somebody in a back room is actually doing the investments for her. They must be buying Bitcoin for her. It makes total sense. When she's getting paid millions and millions of dollars for every fucking speech that she does, she's not buying fucking bonds with that money. She's got to be putting some allocation towards Bitcoin. And she's going out there talking about Bitcoin is a threat towards the US currency. It doesn't make fucking sense. You know, she's done nothing of value for past while. Every election she's ran over the past decade, she's lost. This, aside from winning as a senator in New York, she's been losing everything. So why am I going to listen to somebody that's just losing over and over and over again? It doesn't make any fucking sense. And there's another no pointer I have, and this is probably a little bit older because I don't know if it came before our last episode, but it's The Economist. And everybody, I hope, has seen this fucking thing about The Economist and the memes coming out of it. But The Economist, they have 22 million followers or something. So they clearly have a following of people. This is on Twitter. They have that many followers. So clearly they have a large reach. And a lot of people subscribe to what they're talking about. But they came out, they said, this sharp increase in inflation over the past year has blindsided many economists. Almost no one saw it coming. What economists were blindsided by this? And if they were blindsided, they have no fucking clue what it is that's going on in the real world. And nobody saw it coming? Get the fuck out of here. We've been talking about this for the past 15, 16, 17 months. Clearly, we weren't talking about it right at the onset of this whole problem back in March 27, 2020. But over time, as money was being airdropped to people and you were creating all this additional liquidity in the market, everybody knew what the fuck was going to happen. You are debasing the currency. It is going to have less value going forward than it had the day before. So they're fucking stupid for coming out with this article here saying that many economists were blindsided with the inflation numbers. Get the fuck out of here. You guys, that must be clickbait because nobody's that fucking dumb. Nobody.
They are.
I'd love to have a sit down with the people that believe it. I really would, because I want to know what is being processed in their heads to come to this conclusion. Because if they are coming to this conclusion with fucking inflation that it blindsided them, what else are they thinking? I would really like to know what else is being processed by their brains. Because that is something I have no fucking clue and I can't comprehend without actually talking to them and understanding what they're all about. Until then, fuck you guys, you and Hillary, The Economist and Hillary, you were fucking my no coiners of the week for this week. Fuck you.
Love it. Love it. Strong show. Are we done? I guess we're done. Eh? It feels like that was long, but it actually wasn't that long. It's about average for us, about an hour 40. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we are done. I have nothing else to say. We could do some stuff in the after show. I really don't have much else to add.
Yeah, we're gonna do the stuff in the after show for sure. I'm not a financial advisor still. In between this week and last week, I did not get any certifications. I will not be getting any certifications between this week and next week either, but I'll remind you next week anyway. What about you?
Hell no, I didn't do that weekend course. So whatever you hear from out of my mouth is definitely not financial advice.
That's great. Price of Bitcoin US dollars, $56,689.
Oh man, you just caught me off guard. We have 72,065 in Canadian dollars. So we went up a little bit. Not too shabby. Not too shabby.
We're on the come up. We're on the come up. Stay tuned for the after show if you're on the stream or watching on YouTube. And if not, well, thanks for listening to the pod. And we'll see you on Wednesday with Greg Foss. You got something to say there?
I was just going to say, if you have any questions for Greg Foss, feel free to submit it. We already got a slew of questions to ask, but you know what? Submit more if you haven't, because it's a great opportunity to ask the great Greg Foss some questions about, you know, just about anything. So submit them if you got them.
Also, shout to Greg Foss for texting us that he doesn't want the questions in advance.
So, the man, he's ready to go.
Yeah, he's a bulldozer.
not many people do that. Just want to give everybody a heads up. Typically, they want questions in advance, and we offer it as like just a courtesy to
the topics. Like, it's good to know what topics we're going to talk about so you can like prepare a little bit. We don't ask softball questions, but like, fuck, you don't want to go in blind. I guess Greg doesn't care. He's like, fuck it, here we go.
He's been down this road, you know, a few times, so he understands what's the game here. And it's not like we're going to be asking about what's the score in tomorrow's Leaf game. We're going to be asking questions that's up his alley, and he's going to be able to answer with conviction what the fuck he's like thinking of and what should be the thing we should be doing. So I look forward to talking to him. A lot of blackout moments. We scheduled an hour. We might as well schedule 3 hours with that guy, and still it may not be enough for him.
Yeah, for sure. Don't forget, Thanks to ShakePay for sponsoring the program. We like them. We use them. Buy Bitcoin. Shake your phone. Use our promo code. $30 on your first 100, which, by the way, is unbelievable. I got a kid at the gym today asked me about Bitcoin, so I'm going to hit him up with the link. I'm going to message him once we're done with the stream and help him with that process. So, yeah, definitely. Thank you to ShakePay, and thanks to you guys for tuning in. We'll see you on Friday.
Yes. Take care, everyone.